Begin the current daf itself. This tainus daf chav beis. Begin 10 lines down the time of the Amud. The Gemara continues and segues to a similar conversation that it had in the previous daf, which was talking about different individuals that had shalom, they got greetings from heaven. Now the Gemara brings regarding someone else that had Eliyahu HaNavi that came to him. So the Gemara tells Rebreke Chayza, which means to say that it was from the place of Bechazoy. Havashchiach b'shuka de Be'lefet. He would frequent the marketplace of Be'lefet. Havashchiach Eliyahu Gabe, and Eliyahu HaNavi would frequent him. So Amalei, so Rebreke said to Eliyahu, says Ika b'hai shuka b'amadasi. Is there anyone here from this marketplace that's a ben oy lamabo, someone that is guaranteed a place in the world to come? So Amalei loy, he said no. In the meantime, he saw an individual that was wearing black shoes, not like the custom of the Jews. And he also wasn't wearing tzitzis in his talis on his garment. So Amalei, so Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rebreka, he says, hi, bar amadasihu. This individual is a ben oy lamabo. He's a person of the world to come. So Rod Basre, so Rebreka ran after him. Amalei asked him, my avdach, what is it that you do? So Amalei, so he responded, Zilo idna b'salamachu. Go now and come back tomorrow and then I'll tell you. Lamachar Amalei, tomorrow he came to him and he asked him, he said, my avdach, what is it that you do? So Amalei, he said, zandukana na. He says that I'm a jail watchman. And I lock up the men separate and the women separate. And I place my bed between the men and the women, that they shouldn't come to any forbidden actions. Now, kichazina bas Yisrael, when I see a Jewish girl, if I see those guards, those are in charge of the jail, start eyeing this Jewish girl that's in jail, so I'm lisa nefesh, I give it my all, and I go ahead and I save her. Actually, one time, there was this girl that was engaged, who was there in jail. That the individuals that were there in the jail were starting to eye her. So shakli durdaya de chamra, I went and I took the lees of the wine, which are those little piecey things on the bottom, which is red like blood, and I threw it onto the bottom of our garments. And I said, distanhi, she's a woman that's menstruating and that's disgusting for them, and therefore they didn't violate her. And again, that's why he was Maisa Nefesh, to save the Jewish girl. So Rebreka asked him, he said, my time less lachuti. Why is it that you're not wearing tzitzis? And moreover, Ramas Masani Uchmi, you're wearing these black shoes, both which are regular Jews don't do that. Samalei said to him, Ayalna v'nafikna b'ni nachim. Says, I come and go amongst the Gentiles. And I do this specifically, I won't wear tzitzis, and I don't have the black shoes, that they shouldn't know that I'm Jewish. And that is, kihave gazi gizerta, when they make a decree, medanu l'rabban, I notify the rabbis, ubay rachmim mevatel gizerasi, and they beseech rachmim by heaven, and thereby they mevatel the gizerta, they annul the decree, and that's why I do it, that they shouldn't know that I know. Now, my time mekamina lachano my avdach. So then Rebekah asked him, he says, why is it that when I asked you yesterday, what is it that you do? The amrit li, and you told me, zilho idna b'salamachar, go away now and come back tomorrow. So Malaysa, this individual answered him, he says, "Bahi shaita gazi gezeras." Actually, at that moment, the non-Jews had made a gezer decree. Vamina, and I said, "Bereisha izlo ashmal rabbanon." First, I'm going to go ahead and notify the rabbanon, deliver rachma lo demilsa, that they can go ahead and beseech rachmim instead of answering you, and therefore I told you to come back tomorrow. Now the Gemara tells that adhachi v'hachi. In the meantime, asu hanachtrei, there were two more individuals that came into the marketplace. So Asi Amalei, then Yonavi went and told Rebreka, he says, Hanach nami b'nei al-madasi ninu. These two individuals that just came are also b'nei olam haba, people of the world to come. So Asi Gabai, Rebreka came to them. Amalehu, he said to them, my avdaichu, what is it that you do? What's so special about you? Amalei, they said to him, Inchi b'duch yanan. We are people that are very happy people, and we make other people happy. Mevilatchina natsivi, people that are depressed, we make them happy. Inami, moreover, kichazina betray the islu tigra badai. When we see two people that are in a quarrel amongst each other, tachina, we go out of our way with all our jokes and our wheedling, vavdin lahushlam, and we make peace amongst them, as it says in the Braisa that there's hava shalom edom lachaveroi, bringing peace between man and his friend, are from the things that a person eats from the fruits of that act in this world. And the karen is kayemes loyim haba, the principle remains for the person in the world to come. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah regarding the things that we scream out about. Regarding these things, we have to scream out no matter where the people are. And they are Shadafan, Yerakan, as the Gemara brings a Braisa that elaborates. Tarabim learn the Braisa. Regarding these things, no matter where the people are, they go ahead and they scream about it, even if it's in a different place. Regarding wind blast, which means to say that the wind blows and knocks the grain out of the stalks. Regarding jaundice, which is a type of disease, illness. Regarding different types of grasshoppers, of locusts. And also regarding wild animals that are causing danger. Kiva Aymer, he says, regarding wind blast and jaundice, is b'chol shehu, even the smallest amount. Once we see that, we're ready masrin. Now, although it's said in the Mishnah that it has to be maloi taner, at least of shadafen, which is the oven's full, that is regarding either fasting, or Rashi says that's what's called ma'isa shahayikachay, that just was the story that our Mishnah spoke about, but actually it's even the most minute amount that we're ready masrin. Arba v'chassel, and regarding the different type of locust, even if we find in Eretz Yisrael just one wing, in other words, just one type of this species, we already scream out regarding it because of how dangerous they are and how much damage they could cause. So therefore, even if just a little bit shadaf and yirak, and even just one type of arba and chassel. Now, the Gemara continues is explaining our Mishnah that said, regarding wild animals, that's also something that we're masriyan. So that the Gemara brings Tarban Ulena Brice that elaborates. Chai Rosha Amr, regarding this that we said we scream out regarding a wild animal, is Bizmachi Mushalachas, when it's obvious that it's being sent to cause damage from heaven, then Masrinola, then we scream out regarding it. Eni Mushalachas, if it's just a wild animal that wasn't sent directly from heaven, then Eni Masrinola, then we don't scream out regarding it. As the Brice explains, Ezu Mushalachas, what's considered that it's clear that it's being sent from heaven, the Ezu Hichain Mushalachas, and what's not considered being sent from heaven. Nearest Be'ir, if it's seen in the city itself, then Mishalachas, then that's something that's not common, and that's being sent from heaven. Besada, in the field, where that's the normative animals to be, saying the Mishalachas, then it's not considered sent, and then we don't scream out regarding it. Moreover, Be'yayim, Mishalachas, if they're visible during the daytime, then they're sent. Balayla, if it's just a nighttime, then Mishalachas, then it's not sent. The Brisa continues, says, Rasa Shnei B'nei Adam Ratzacharein. If let's say the animal saw two people and ran after them, that's Mishalachas, that's not common, and therefore that's obviously sent from heaven. Nichbas Mepnem, but when it saw the two people, it went to hide from them, then any Mishalachas, that's normal for the animal, that wasn't sent from heaven. Tarvash Nebani Adam, if let's say it mauled two people, V'achla Echad Mehem, but it only ate one of them, then Mishalachas, then it's obviously being sent from heaven, because if it was only hungry for one of them, why'd it kill the other one too? Obviously it's being sent from heaven. But if it ended up eating both of them, then any Mishalachas, then it wasn't sent from heaven, because obviously it was its hunger that caused it to kill the two people. Also, Lagag, if the animal climbs up to the roof, where it was normal for people to use their roofs for different types of utilities, because it wasn't slanty, it was rather flat, Venutla Tinik Maris, and it takes the baby from the cradle, Mishalachas, then something so bizarre like that, climbing to the top of the roof and taking the baby, obviously is being sent from heaven. Now the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Haguf Akasha, seems to be internal contradiction. Amr, at first he said, Nirasa Be'ir Mishalachas, if it's seen in the city, then it's sent, which sounds like Leishna Be'yem or Leishna Be'laylo, anytime it comes into the city, it's Mishalachas, even day or night. Bahad Amr, and then the Braisa then says, Be'yem Mishalachas, Be'layla Eni Mishalachas, that only by daytime it's sent, and not by nighttime. So the Gemara says, Leikasha, actually it's not a contradiction, it's actually a combination of those two criteria. Hachikama, this is what the Braisa was saying. Nearest to Be'ir, Bayayim Mushalachas, if it's seen in the city and by daytime, then it was sent. Be'ir Balayla Ein Mushalachas, and then it qualified it further, but even if it's in the city, but if it's at nighttime, then it wasn't sent. Or the other way, Inami Basada, or if it was found in the field, Afila Bayayim, even by daytime, Ein Mushalachas, again, it has to have both criteria, in the city and by daytime. Now the Braisa told us, Rasa Shnei B'nei Adam, if it sees two people, and it runs after two people, then that's something that's not so common. It doesn't chase after two people. Then it's obviously sent from heaven. Now the inference is hoimedes, but let's say it stayed in its place in the field and it didn't run after the people, but it didn't go ahead and hide, would sound like ena mishalachas, and it wasn't sent because it didn't chase. But then hadam, or then the Braisa then says, nichbos mipenim ena mishalachas. If it hides from the people, it runs away, then it wasn't sent. But the inference there is, Hoimedis Mishalachas. But if it stays in its place, then it is sent. So that's a contradiction. What is the inference of regarding if it just stays put? So I think I'm answered like Kasha, it's not a difficulty because it depends. Khan, over here where we said if it stays in its place, that inference that we said that it obviously was not Mishalachas because it didn't chase them, that's Toma Besada Hasmuchul Agam. That's by a field right near the swamp. Now, since it's near the swamp where that's where its habitat is, and it doesn't run away, is because it thinks, look, if the animal's thinking, if the people chase me, I'm just going to be able to escape through into the swamp. And therefore, if it stays put, it doesn't mean it's mishalachas, because it is normal for the animal to do that. Whereas Khan will be here, where we said if it stays put, and obviously it was sent, that's not normal, is besad the sheinus mukhalagam. That's why I feel that's not near a swamp. Now, since it's not its normal habitat and it's still staying in one place, obviously it's a sign that it was sent from Shemayim, and therefore that's something that we have to be masrina, that we have to scream out regarding that. Now, the Baisa Morba said that Tarfish name in the Adam Kechad, if it kills two people together at one time, but V'achle Echaman only eats one of them, then it's Mishalachas, then it was sent from heaven, because why is it killing two and eating one? But Shneim in Mishalachas, if it kills two and eats two, then it's not sent from heaven. It was hungry, and therefore it killed both to eat both. But that the Gemara asked, but you said, forget about killing the people and eating the people. It said just chasing people is not common and that it's mishalachas. So how can we say that if not only does it chase and it kills and it eats, that that's normal? So I'm not Papa. Papa explains, Kitanyahi, when did we learn that in the Brice that says that if it eats, then yes, it's normal. But if it runs after, then it's not. It was Toma Ba'agma in the swamp itself. Now, the swamp itself is its habitat, and therefore it relies on its own home court, so to speak, in its place, and therefore it will run after the people, and therefore it's very normal if it runs after and it kills and it eats them that it's not mishalachas. But you're right, if it's not in its normal habitat, then if it's running after people, then it would be considered mishalachas. Gufa, we learned in the Braisa that said also legag v'not letinik marisa mishalachas. Said after that, if the animal climbs on the roof of the building and it takes the infant from the cradle, then it's obviously sent from heaven. So that Gemara's Peshitta is pretty obvious. It's not normal for animals to do that. So Amar Papi says, no, actually, we're talking about kikuche ditzayade. We're talking about these little huts that those people that trap the birds, they go out and they build these little type of huts. Now, although it's not an established building, and it's not like in the settlement, and therefore we'd think maybe that animals would be able to climb out in it and they wouldn't be so afraid, that's the chiddush that no, even though it's this type of binyan aroi, it's still considered mishalachas because it's still not normal for it to climb onto the roof and take the baby from the cradle. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that spoke about things that are masrin b'chol mokim, that we scream out no matter where the people are. Was one of them was al acher v'chulu, was regarding the sword that's coming into that place. Then we go ahead and we scream out. So, Tama, we learn the Braisa. Cherev Sha'amr, regarding this that we spoke about, that a sword, if that's coming into the world, it's something that we scream about. We didn't have to tell you that if it's not a peaceful sword, in other words, that they're coming to fight a war, that obviously we're going to be masrin alayim. But actually, even if it's a sword of peace, meaning to say that another kingdom just wants to come through your place to go ahead and fight with other people, that even then, that's going to be something that we're masrin alayim. And the reason is, she'en l'cha cherev shal shalom yesu mipar nechai. There's no greater example of a sword of peace, which means that they only just wanted to get through, than the case of par nechai. Rafa pikein nechshel ba ha-melech Yeshua, and still in spite of that, this caused a stumbling block for the king Yeshua, and he ended up dying, and therefore it's something that no matter what the circumstances are, even if it's in the peaceful way, we're masrin alayim. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Dibur Yom HaBeis, Margitina HaTamid Beis, where it says that this was in regards to Yeshua HaMelech, who went towards Paranachai in war, and he didn't let him just come through to fight people on the other side, where it says that Yishlach Elav Malachim Lemer. So Paranachai sent messengers to King Yeshua, and he says, Ma'alei v'loch Melech Yehuda, what do you have with me and you, King of Judea? Today I'm not coming to fight you. Kiel Beis Malcham, I just want to get through your land to the place where I have to fight my war. And the God told me that I'm going to have this bahala, this tumultuousness. But let alone leave be what God has with me, and there shouldn't be any troubles with you that I should have to hurt you. Now the Gemara asks, What is this that Paran the Chayv is telling King Yeshayo that Elohim that's with me? So Mevidim Arab Zuavay Dezar is a reference to his gods, which was idol worship. And therefore Amar, therefore Yeshayo said, since he's confident in his idol worship, in his idols, then Yechil Nale, I will be able to fight him and win him because obviously he's no match when he's doing Avodah Zarah. Now, however, the Pasuk does tell us what ultimately happened. Is the archers shot their arrows towards King Yeshayahu. And the king told to his servants, Haviruni, take me away from here, from the war, from the battle, because I've gotten very ill. So the Gemara says, what does this mean that I've gotten very ill? So now, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Melamedus comes to teach from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, Vayehu ha-moirim, that the archer shot, which sounds like that many archers shot many arrows, is also called Gufay Kichvara, that they made his entire body like a sieve, who is full of holes, and that's Hechleisi from the word of Chalal, and that's because they shot all their arrows towards King Yeshayahu. So Amar Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Bi'enison, why is it that King Yeshayahu was punished? Because he should have first taken counsel and asked Yirmiyahu Hanavi, and he didn't. He went on his own, and therefore he was punished. So the Gemara says, my darsh, what did he expound that he was so confident, King Yeshayahu, to go ahead and not let Paran Nochei come in and fight him for not coming in? So that's because it says a pasuk in Yikra, the cherev leisava ba'aretzachem, and this is what we were discussing, that it says that a sword will not pass through your land. Now, my cherev, what does the pasuk mean when it says that a sword will not pass through? Ilei mecherev she'nishal shalom, if you would think it means to say a sword that's not of peace, meaning when there are those coming to do battle with you, and the pasuk is saying if you keep the mitzvahs, that then it's not going to come into your land. But v'ksevah, the pasuk already said before, it says, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, I will place peace in your land. So we don't have to go ahead and repeat it by saying there's not going to be a cherev of war. Rather, that's what he learned, that the pasuk is saying, even a peaceful sword just passing through, if you keep the mitzvahs, Hashem is not going to let them come through, and therefore he was confident that he'll be able to fight them. However, the Gemara tells us, but King Yeshayahu did not know that his people, the Jewish people, weren't so beholden in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they weren't as tzaddikim as they thought they were. Now the Gemara tells us, when he was passing away because of this, that the archers all killed him, Chaza Yirmiyahu sevvasid the komerachshon. So Yirmiyahu Hanavi saw his lips were moving. Amar Shema Chasa Shalom Milsud Loi Mahagno Amar Agav Tzari. So he said, maybe God forbid that he's saying things that are inappropriate because of his pain, that look, here I go to protect God's land and God's people, and it was our right because it says, Chav Lesav Baratzchem, and look, here I'm dying. So Gachin Vishameh, but Yirmiyahu bent over and he heard, the Kamas Tegalev Dina Nafshe, actually that he was being Matz Tegalev as a din, which means that he was accepting God's justice. And Amr, he said, as it says in the Pasuk in Eicha, Tzadiku Hashem, Hashem is righteous, Kifihu Merisi, because his mouth I have rebelled, and he realized he had done something wrong, and therefore he wasn't complaining, actually he was justifying his death. So Pasuk Alev, Hahi Shaita, so Yirmiyahu opened up an exclamation after he heard this, as it says in the Pasuk in Eicha, Ruach HaPeinu, the spirit of our nostrils, Mashiach Hashem, is the one that's anointed from Hashem, as the Pasuk says, regarding this, that he has been killed. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, that there was an incident where the elders came down from Yerushalayim to their individual cities, because they heard that there was shidduf and wind blast, the size of the opening of how there is by an oven, and therefore that's something that could spread, and therefore no matter where their cities were, they decreed that it must rein. Now Yibayluhu had the following question and clarification of that story. Kimloi tanu tvua? How much wind blast was there? Was it the opening of the mouth of an oven of grain, which is a very large amount, more than if, let's say, the oven would be filled with bread? Idilma kimloi tanu pas? Or maybe it means that to fill the opening of the oven with bread, which is a smaller amount, because it's not normative to fill up the opening of the oven with bread, rather they would attach it to the walls, and therefore that's much less than it were to be grain. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, that at least one of these concepts we can clarify from the Braisa, where it says, Kamloi pi taner, to the opening of the mouth of the oven, which is obviously with bread, because grain is not something that can stay there by the opening of the oven itself. But the Gemara says, Vatayin tibaylu, but they still had a question, that regarding this, that it's bread, But is it kikisuya de tanura? Is it like the covering of the oven? Meaning to say, if you have the row of breads which are attached one to the other by the opening of the oven, a dilma kidara de rift, or maybe it's like a row of loaves which you attach one on top of the other, the hadar le lepuma de tanura, that reaches all the way to the mouth of the oven. Which way would it be referring to when we're calling it bread that's filling up the mouth of the oven? Is it as it's normally done on the sides, or piling up one to the other? And nothing must take, let it stand. It's not clear what that story was, that they heard that it's that amount of shidduchim, and that they went to go ahead and make the different decrees of Tanesim in their own cities. Now the Gemara told us also, it said in the Mishnah, they also made a tainus, a fast, regarding that there were wolves that ate up children. So the Gemara says similarly that Amar Ula Meshim Meshim Ben Yehi Tzadik, a similar story regarding a different halacha. Maisu Balu Zeiv Meshnei Tenekes. There was an incident where wolves ate up two infants, and that were complete. Ve'kiyum Derech Beisareyu, and the children came out through the rear of the animals. And Uba Maisu Pnei Chacham. The story came in front of the Chacham. Ve'tiras Abbas. So they said that the actual flesh of the children is tar. In other words, it's not going to be metame like tumas mes, like a dead corpse usually conveys tuma, because actually the body of the wolf already digested the children, and that is if it stayed there the amount of time that it takes for digestion of the food. And although the flesh is coming out, but it's considered the waste of the animal. But they said that the bones of the children, which were not digested, that will still convey the tuma of tumas mes. So the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, moreover than these halachas that we are masrin, that we scream out, and that we fast, the Mishnah told us, al elu masrin b'Shabbos, regarding these following things, not only do we scream out, we even scream out even on Shabbos when we're not supposed to. As we learned in the Braisa, ir shekifu nachem, regarding a city that was surrounded by non-Jews, al nahar, or by a river, ve'echad svinam atrefes, by yam, or whether a ship that's sinking at sea, ve'echad yachad shenirdif mipnei nachem, or an individual that's being chased by non-Jews, I mean, they list them all by bandits, ruach ra, or because of an evil spirit that enters, the demon enters into the person, and he's running and he's going, and he's just out of control, and he might just sink in the river, or he might go ahead and commit suicide and die. So al kulan yachad rishoy l'sag v'sas matanis. Regarding all these things, when the person is in that type of tzara, a person is allowed to afflict themselves in fasting. V'yishim he argues. He says, ina yachad rishoy l'sag v'sas matanis. An individual is not allowed to go ahead and afflict themselves with fasting, because he might need to come on to people, and because he's not going to have enough energy and income to be able to go ahead and support himself. But the people are not going to have mercy on him, and therefore a person should not go ahead and afflict themselves. Rather, they have to do what it takes to take care of themselves. Amar Rav Yehuda Rabbi says, my time to be, so what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? So still, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis says, "Vehi ha'adam le'nefesh chai," that the man was for a living spirit, which means to say, "Neshamish neshatibach," the soul that I have given to you, "Hechyeh," keep it alive. In other words, you have to do what it takes. You can't go ahead and be busy afflicting yourselves, because then you're not going to be able to support yourself. Now the Mishnah said that Shimon atim the Omer. It says, "Afal adever," also regarding pestilence, is something that's so extreme that we're masrin even on Shabbos. So, however, the Chachamim, as it said in our Mishnah, they argued. So the Gemara asked Ibayilu, they said, Lo yhoidu le Chacham b'Shabbos, when the Seder Chacham did not agree to him. Did they only argue regarding Shabbos? Abachel hoidu le, but regarding the weekday, they did agree that it's something that you will be Masriyan? Adem le hoidu le Klalo, maybe they didn't even agree at all that it's not something that we're Masriyan. So Tashema, come in here, the time like Linda Bryce. It says, Masriyan ala dever b'Shabbos. We scream out regarding pestilence on Shabbos, v'netzarach laim b'chel. And we don't have to say regarding weekday that of course yeah. However, Reb Chanan ben Pitim, Talmidish, Rabbi Kiva, Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Aimer, he says, Emasrin ala dever kalikar, that we don't scream out regarding pestilence at all, and we see that the Chum that argue not only regarding Shabbos, but even regarding the weekday. Now the Mishnah told us, similarly, al kol tzarish leitav ala tzibru chulu, and also regarding any difficulty that comes on the public, these are some things that we are Masrin ala. So Tarma Melinda Braisa, al kol tzarish leitav ala tzibru Masrin ala, yet as our Mishnah said, regarding any challenge that comes upon the public that we scream on it, chutz mirev gisham, except, as we learned in our Mishnah, when there's an abundance, an overabundance of rain. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? If it's something that's a tzara, so even though it's a lot of rain, we should be able to scream out regarding it. Samar Yechanan, he says, Lefisha ein mispalna al reiv hatayba. Although it's detrimental, but we don't daven regarding the overabundance of goodness. How do we know that we don't daven regarding when there's an overabundance of goodness? Like it says in the Pasuk Malachi, it says, bring the tithes to the storage houses, etc. And it says, ad belidai. So you ask, my ad belidai, what does it mean until it's going to be more than enough? So Amar Rami Bar Rav, he interprets this interesting terminology of belidai, that until your lips are going to be worn out from saying enough, enough, enough. Again, we see that these are things that we're not supposed to daven regarding when there's an overabundance of goodness. However, the Gemara does qualify this halacha and says, Amar Rami Bar Yud, he says, Ubegayla, however, in the diaspora, which is a reference to Bavel, which is deep in the valley, they are masrina leh, they do scream out regarding when there's an overabundance of rain, that it shouldn't come down, because that could be very harmful for those that live in the valley. Tanhamach is similar in the Braisa. Shana shegishmeh merubin, a year when there's a lot of rain, anshi mishmer sholchan l'anshi maimed, the people of the mishmer, which are the kahanim that serve that week, they send to the people of the maimed, which is a conglomerate of kahanim levim Israel that also represent the Jewish people during that week, where the Gemara on Daf Chavav Manaf explains exactly what is this anshi mishmer and anshi maimed. So the anshi mishmer tell the anshi maimed, tenuei nechem, place your eyes, in other words, contemplate in your tefillah, in your fast, which is what the Anshei Maimed do during that week, and they daven for the karbanos to be merutza, that there shouldn't be too much rain, because you should be concerned about b'achichem shebegayla, regarding your brothers in the diaspora and bavel, shalehei batem kivreim. So although we're davening for rain, but not too much, because we don't want their homes to become their graves, because since it's very deep, they could sink when their houses get filled with water. Shalom Rabbi Eliezer, the Asher Rabbi Eliezer. So adhechen gisham yerdin. How much rain has to come down? Be espoushle yerdin that we can finally daven that it shouldn't come down. We know we're not supposed to daven al reiv gishamim, but it comes to a point. What's that point? Some of them he said to them, kadesh yamen adam bekeren eifel. It's that a person should be able to stand on keren eifel, which is a very very high rock, and its name was keren eifel. Yishach shach raglev b'mayim. And that he should be able to dip his feet into the water that came all the way up from the ground. In other words, really never daven, because it's never going to be that much water that's going to rise to that level. And that's the Gemara asked on this that he said regarding dipping your feet in the water, but by the time we learn the Braisa, yadav. That's until the water gets to that high where you can dip your hands into the water. So that the Gemara answers, raglev ki yadav kamina. What I meant to say was, if your feet are like your hands, in other words, since you could dip your feet in, so if you bend over, you'll be able to do it with your hands too, but it's the same idea. Now, related to this, to describe how high Keren Eifel was, to show that really is never going to be a amount of rain that you could daven for it to stop, Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanna, he says, L'didi chazuli Keren Eifel, I saw this big rock Keren Eifel, dekam hahu taya. Now, I was on Keren Eifel, and I saw this Arab merchant, Kirach of Gamla, when he was riding on his camel, and he was holding his spear in his hand, so it's very high. You have the camel, the Arab merchant, and he's holding his spear up in his hand. And Mishchazi says, it looked to me, all these different high levels, who when he was on top of Keren Eifel, inivia as like a little worm. And we see how high that obviously must be, and that how much rain must come until we could be able to daven, that the rain should stop. So Tamar learned the Braisa exactly how we need the rain to be perfect, not too little, not too much, as we just described. It says in the Pasuk, when there's going to be bracha for the Jewish people, and I'm going to give the rain in their appropriate time. Now that, the Braisa explains, it means loishikara, not intoxicated, which means say not drinking too much, which means say not too much rain. And b'leitzma, not thirsty, meaning not too little rain. Elabainius, rather the medium amount. And the reason is, because any time when there's too much rain, it muddies the land, and it doesn't bring forth any produce. Tavach, another interpretation in the Pasuk, is when it says be'itam in its appropriate time, it means b'leili revius u'b'leili shabbasas. It means on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. Now, Friday nights is because people are not going out, they're home for the Friday night meal, so therefore it's not a tircha, it's not a bother for people. And also Tuesday nights, people don't usually go outside, as the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kavid Beis Amud Beis explains, because of Agris Bas Machlis, which is the mother of these types of Shadim, that she causes harm to people on Tuesday night, so people don't go out at those times. That's considered Be'itam, that's considered Bracha. Now, On that, the Gemara says, maybe you're going to think that if it's only raining on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, well, that's not enough rain to support the produce. On that, the Gemara says, no, shekei mitzinu b'mei shim b'shatach. We find in the days of shim b'shatach, that the rain only came down on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, but that was such a bracha that achenasu chitim kakloyes, the wheat was like kidneys. That's how big it was. Usa'arim and barley was like v'sarim kigarnizesim, was like the size of olive pits. V'adashim and the lentils was kedinrizav, was like golden coins. And v'tzarim mehem dugmadaris. And actually, it was such bracha on those times, which we see it's enough for two nights' rain, that they went and they wrapped up a sample of it to show how big these things were for the future generations, to show how much sin causes, that is, although bracha could be so big, and nowadays it's not, and obviously it's because of people's sins. Something like it says, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it's your sins that cause these things to turn. And it's your mistakes that cause the good to be withheld from you. And the Gemara says, same thing we find in days of Hordus, who he demolished the building of Ezra, and he went to build even a nicer building of the Beis HaMikdash, as Igmar Babasar Daf Dalam Alpha explains. They were busy building the Beis HaMikdash. And it would rain at night time. In the morning, the wind would blow. And it would have the clouds disperse. And the sun would shine. And therefore, it wasn't raining anymore. People could go out and do their work. And therefore they knew that the handiwork of heaven was in their hands, because it was showing them that obviously they want them to be able to work during the daytimes, but it needed the rain to provide the produce. So it rained at nighttime, and then quickly in the morning it would clear up. Again, the same idea that it could rain at different times, and the bracha could come as necessary, not to be a techer for people, even just two nights a week, Tuesday night and Friday nights.